salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 22, verse number 39. The Lord Jesus has left the upper room with the disciples, and they've gone over to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord had resorted often, the scripture says, during the course of his time and ministry here on the earth. He was at the place, he says in verse number 40, that he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation is going to be about. This is the hour of evil. This is the time of the resistance of Satan. If Satan is working triply to kill the Lord Jesus Christ before he gets to the cross, and to prevent him from going to the cross, it is the cross where Jesus is going to accomplish the will of the Father and his gospel, his redemption, his atonement for the sins of his people. Even in this place in Gethsemane, the sins of his people, the Lord Jesus' people, is being placed upon him. It's being loaded up upon him. And we see in verse number 42 where the Lord Jesus in his humanity says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Lord Jesus says, is there another way? Is there another way than for me to bear this sin? And of course, we know from the scriptures there's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other one to bear the sins of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus here, he's not balling up and bucking against the will of the Father, the plan of the Father, the plan that he knew from eternity, that he was going to come and accomplish in time. But he's saying in his humanity, Lord, is there another way? Nevertheless, thy will be done. The Lord always submitting to the will of the Father, what you want, Father. And again, as I mentioned last time, we think of that passage in the scripture where it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Not that God is sadistic and is with glee poured out his wrath for his people's sins and hell and condemnation upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but that was the only way that they could be redeemed. And it took Jesus, the God-man, to suffer and bleed and die, be buried and raised again for salvation and for the granting to his people, those that would believe upon him, everlasting life. And Jesus submits to that. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And as the Lord's people, we always need to yield. Well, we can ask the Lord for what we desire and what we believe would be right and the best, but we should always yield. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him, verse number 43, from heaven strengthening him. This angel from the Father comes to strengthen the Lord Jesus. He's going to bear the sins of his people. Oh, we can't even imagine the Lord Jesus being the innocent one and the most perfect, the most divine, the purely righteous without even the thought of a hint of sin within him. The Lord Jesus Christ is being made the most innocent, the most pure, the perfect man, the second Adam, the righteousness of God is becoming and being made as the worst sinner that there has ever been. All the sins of his people, all the sins of his people through the ages, in the past and to come, are being laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ there. And that angel is sent from the Father to strengthen him. And being in agony, verse number 44, in agony, he prayed more earnestly. It says in other passages, he went back and prayed the same thing. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I don't believe that the Lord was bleeding here. His blood is reserved for Calvary and from the praetorium and thereon, bearing the condemnation of his people and that chastisement for sin. But he is so profusely sweating here that is the strain upon his physical body. Praise God, the Son of God came down to become a man. It's the only way that a man could live is by the power of God to get this accomplished and to bear these sins to Calvary, to pay for them there as the Lord had ordained. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They don't know what's going on. They evidently look over there and they see the Lord Jesus because they write of these things. Brother Luke somehow came to know, and it's only the 11 that are there with the Lord Jesus at this place in Gethsemane. By this time, it's only the 11. Judas has gone out to pursue what he has arranged, and hear the Lord Jesus. They look on. They just don't understand what is happening. They just don't get it. Why is he so, how is it that they knew what he prayed? They observed it. They heard him. And maybe in the agony that it says here, in agony, he prayed more earnestly, louder. And they heard their Lord, and they just, they'd had that meal, and they just, so many things, they just wore out physically with it. They just cannot take it, and they fall asleep. Verse 46, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We know that this went back and forth two or three times, as it says in other Gospels. He would come back and find them sleeping, and he would go back to pray, and back and forth, and they just don't, humanity just does not have it within us to delve and deal with the things of God. Our Lord Jesus is alone in this. He's alone. He's going to do it alone. And he's pursuing that and obeying the Father in it in every whit. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them. He's leading them, Judas is, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And so Judas comes up and kisses the Lord in this greeting, in this hypocritical greeting of the Lord. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And so Jesus even knows, he knows what's going on. He knows about this betrayal. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And so this wakes up the disciples, the 11 that are there, and they say, is this the time to use the two swords? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And so we know from other Gospels that that is a brother Peter. And he takes a knife. He takes one of those swords. It's very keen and very sharp. And he puts it right up there to this servant. Malchus is his name. And he a servant to the high priest, and he takes and cuts off his ear. He's very, very controlled and able with a knife, with a sword, Peter is. And so this is kind of like firing a warning shot. Are you ready to fight us? This man's a fisherman. He knows how to handle a knife, a blade. He's ready. He cuts off that servant's of the high priest right ear. And Jesus answered and said, verse 51, suffer ye thus far. What are you doing? And he touched his ear and healed him. He cuts off his right ear. We assume that he's very efficient in it, and it falls to the ground or falls into his clothes. And the Lord says, stop that. And he touches that man's right ear, before, I don't know, did it bleed? Did it even have a chance to bleed? Surely it did. You know how it is when you get nicked around your face and your ear and such. There's so many blood vessels, and the Lord touches his ear and heals him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests, verse 52, and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? Are you coming out against a real criminal? Is that what you're doing tonight? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. I was there. I was easy to take. Why didn't you do it in the temple? And so the Lord, he rebukes them in this. Said, well, you've come out against me like you're trying to track down a criminal and a thief with swords and with staves. And I mean, you guys are armed to the teeth. And he said, I was in the temple. You could have taken me then. But they didn't, because they feared the people. They needed it to be in a secluded place. They needed to be in a place where it wouldn't stir up the ire of the public and the people. He said, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, verse 53. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. He said, this is your hour. This is where the allowing of God, the Spirit of God, just backs off and allows men what indeed they just do. They're wicked, and mankind is wicked. It's so predictable to know what they will do. They are against righteousness. They're against the Son of Righteousness and the glory of God and the work of God. Verse 54. Then took they him and led him, brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. So we know from other accounts in the Gospels that the disciples scatter. And they take the Lord Jesus, and they bring him to the high priest's house. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. And so Peter is near. And a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. This man was also with the one you guys have got down there. He's one of them. He follows along with him. And he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And so Peter has denied the Lord and being with the Lord these two times. Verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. His speech is giving it away. The way that he talks, his accent, it's giving it away, Peter. You're from Galilee, and you're one of them. You were one of them. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, the rooster crowed. It's morning. It's coming on morning. He's denied the Lord three times. Verse 61. One of the saddest verses and one of the blessed verses in the scripture. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times, thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord didn't quit on Peter, but what the Lord said about Peter came to be. May God help us that we look into our Lord and believe him and trust him in all. May we look to him for help and strength to live for him and to be obedient to him. It's the only way for the child of God to live. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954.
by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.